We have no apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Declarations of interest.
Chair, just to confirm that Councillor Fletcher won't be participating in this meeting as a committee member because of a conflict.
Okay. The minutes of the meeting held on the 12th of July. I've read them and I propose they are correct. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Goodfellow. And does everyone agree that they're correct? Can we approve the minutes? Thank you. Okay. Any urgent business?
There are no urgent business, Chairman.
Right. That's the committee. Thank you very much for going through that. Okay, everyone. I think if we all introduce ourselves, we go around the table. My name's Julie Killoran. I'm East Staffordshire Borough Councillor for the Stretton Ward and the Chair of the Standards Committee.
My name's John Teasdale and I'm the Borough Solicitor and Monitoring Officer of the Council.
Hello, I'm Owen Brown and I'm the investigator in this matter.
Monica Henchcliffe, the Democratic Services Committee Clerk.
Councillor Richard Grosvenor, Councillor for Branston Ward.
Councillor Duncan Goodfellow, the Staffordshire Borough Member for Uttoxeter Heath.
Councillor Denise France Dukes for Horninglow Ward.
Alison Trenery, Parish Council Representative.
Waleed Kunebi, Parish Councillor, Grislingcote, Parish Council.
Councillor Russell Locke, Councillor for Tuckburn Outwards.
Graeme Goodall, I'm the independent person.
Thank you very much. So we'll begin by handing over to the monitoring officer, who will explain how the committee is going to run this evening, etc.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Councillors, following an investigation, the Standards Committee are here today to conduct a hearing and consider the complaint made by Councillor Wildman against Councillor Florence Dukes. This is following the report of investigation which has been prepared by Ms. Alwyn Brown of Anthony Collins LLP, who you will be hearing from shortly. The purpose of the hearing is to decide whether or not Councillor Florence Dukes has failed to follow the Code of Conduct, and if so, to decide whether or not a sanction should be imposed and what form any sanction should take. During the course of the hearing, the committee may take legal advice from me in private if necessary, and if you so decide, we'll explain the substance of any legal advice to everyone involved. Members should bear in mind that a standards committee is a formal meeting of the authority, but it is not a court of law. It cannot compel a witness to give evidence, and no evidence is heard under oath. But it does decide factual evidence to the standard of the balance of probabilities. This means that when the committee consider this matter, they must be satisfied that on the evidence, the occurrence of an event was more likely than not. As always, the principles of natural justice and procedural fairness apply to this hearing, and it must be conducted appropriately and respectfully by all the parties. And I would ask all present to keep that in mind. Now, in terms of preliminary matters, you will be aware, councillors, as the committee, that with your permission, witnesses can be called. However, following confirmation from the investigator, Ms. Alwyn Brown, there are no witnesses to be called on her part. Councillor Florence Dukes, as part of the pre-hearing process, has requested an opportunity to ask questions of Ms. Alwyn Brown directly, the investigator. Our procedure doesn't provide an express opportunity for direct questioning of the investigator by the subject councillor, but it is within the gift of the chair to depart away from the procedure in order to secure the effective and fair consideration of any matter. So perhaps once the committee have had their opportunity to ask questions of Ms. Brown following her presentation, the committee could then consider whether Councillor Florence Dukes should be given an opportunity to ask questions also. Separately, Councillor Florence Dukes has also requested an opportunity to ask questions of Councillor Wildman, the complainant. However, it should be noted that, in accordance with the Council's procedure, the calling of any witness can only be done with the permission of the committee. But more importantly, Councillor Wellman isn't being called by a witness as Ms Brown. So I think perhaps once Councillor Florence Dukes has had the chance to open her case in accordance with paragraph 8.1 of the procedure, the councillor's case, the committee may need to briefly consider that point. For my part, Chair, I don't think there's anything else that I need to raise, so perhaps now would be a good time to move on to the report of Ms Elwyn Brown.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the investigating officer, Mrs Elwyn Brown, who's a consultant for Anthony Collins Solicitors. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to assume that members have had the opportunity to read my report and the appendices, but I think it may be helpful if I just go through something to introduce this. My qualifications are set out in the report. I don't think I need to go through those any further. This is a complaint made by Councillor Wellman, and you've got the complaints in the appendices. The first is about potential breach of the Code of Conduct. There were also complaints about an alleged breach of the Representation of People Act 1983. I've had to make it clear in my report, because it was also raised by Councillor Florence Dukes, that I cannot deal with matters about that. Is a police matter, and my report does not deal with those matters accordingly. It only deals with the Code of Conduct issue. I haven't made any findings or passed any comment in relation to that. This is a somewhat unusual report, Madam Chairman, because all of the complaints relate to events at the meeting, at your annual meeting in 2021. In fact, it may be that a number of councillors were actually present at that meeting who are here today. And I am going to ask in a short while Mr Teasdale to play the particular part of the recording, because it was recorded, so we have the evidence there in front of us. Just to recap, at the meeting, Councillor Wellman had served for 2 years as the Mayor of East Staffordshire Borough Council, because he had his term extended because of COVID for a year. And as is usual, when a mayor stands down at the annual meeting, a member will raise a motion for a vote of thanks, and the vote of thanks takes place. And I was at an annual meeting only a couple of months ago where the same things happen, and people pay tribute to the role that the mayor has played whilst they've been in service. Councillor Florence Dukes indicated that she wanted to speak and was called upon to do so. But her comments, and we will hear them in a short while, were, in my view, entirely negative. She said that she would be voting against the motion. She urged other members to also vote again or to abstain. And she claimed Councillor Wellman had behaved appallingly in his role as mayor. He'd bullied and belittled members. He deliberately mispronounced Councillor Groven's name. He'd interrupted members, was rude, disrespectful. She was followed by 10 other members at the meeting, nine of those members spoke very strongly in favour of Councillor Wellman. Councillor Grosvenor was the only member who spoke in any support of her. And the motion was passed. Three members, Councillor Florence Dukes, Councillor Grosvenor and Councillor Shrive, voted in favour of what Councillor Florence Dukes was saying. And Councillor Wellman was deeply hurt, and when I interviewed him, I could tell he was still deeply hurt about that. And those remarks were made in her official capacity at the council annual meeting in a public forum. And Councillor Wellman says, well, what this means is that she has breached, in his view, paragraph 3.1 of your code of conduct, which says that councillors must treat each other with respect, and she's not upheld the general principles, the Nolan principles, of honesty and leadership. And so she was bringing the council into disrepute. Now, I think it's worth, just before we get on to the video of the meeting, I think it's worth just me giving a little bit of information about my investigation. I'd like to thank Councillor Wellman for his cooperation throughout the investigation. His statement appears there. He was very helpful. Unfortunately, I was unable to interview Councillor Florence Dukes. After I was instructed, I emailed her asking if she was willing to be interviewed, and she replied on the 30th of June saying, I'd like to assure you all that you can rely on my full cooperation with your investigation. This, of course, includes participation in any remote interviews you may wish to have with me. Unfortunately, I was unable to interview Promise Jukes. She offered to write a statement detailing all the matter and how I'd like to receive the evidence, and she told me that she would not be available for July owing to pre-planned medical treatment, but she was hoping to have good availability in August for the interview to take place. And I got back to her the same day saying that that's fine, I appreciate it with time to put together the evidence, and it would be useful for me to see that evidence before the interview if possible. So I'd be back from leave on the week beginning the 19th of July. At that point, she'd also mentioned that she had four witnesses, and I asked her to let me have their contact details, their names, and let me know the nature of the evidence that they will be able to provide. She replied to me on the 8th of July saying she submitted a subject access request to the council for the production of data. That wouldn't be ready until the 11th of September. But she said that there was an email she wished to forward. She was gathering these together. She'd provide further documents as and when I received them. And I replied saying that I was concerned about this delay and that given that the complaint refers to events of the council's annual meeting, whilst there may be some evidence which will come out of the SRA, I couldn't see why this had to await the SRA results and asked her for further available dates. A week later, she sent me a copy email to a member of the council, an officer of the council, asking for copies of three council meeting dates. The officer replied to Councillor Florence Jukes, copying me and saying she was arranging for the Dropbox links to be sent through. And I emailed Councillor Florence Jukes on the 12th of August, saying I've had these three council meetings, but I have had nothing to accompany these. Can you let me know why these recordings are relevant and what you will propose I should be looking at? What do you wish to bring to my attention as far as those recordings are concerned? And I also asked for an indication of when she was going to be available for interview, and I got an out-of-office email saying she was unavailable until the 31st of August, but she would reply on her return. On the 15th of September, I then wrote again to her saying, I refer to my email to her below, the one asking for details of the recordings. I haven't had any reply. I hadn't had anything further from her. And I think it's important to understand that the reason I was reluctant to sit through probably what amounted to 6 or 9 hours of recordings is not because I am not used to sitting through hours of council meetings. It's simply because I am paid from public funds. And it's important to understand, when I look at something like that, what I am supposed to be looking at, because otherwise it can be really a waste of time. Councillor Florence Jukes was given all the opportunity, in my view, to be able to cooperate. She indicated at the start she would be, but unfortunately this never took place. I will just mention the email to me of the 8th of June, because that contained a number of attachments, complaints about Councillors Clark and Fletcher, two complaints about the then monitoring officer, we're going back a year. But I wasn't instructed to take any action with complaints against the monitoring officer, so I have had to disregard those, and they've played no part in my report. The complaints against Councillors Fletcher and Clark are dealt with in this report. And in the appendix, Madam Chairman, which you've seen, I've included all the emails and Facebook posts sent to me by Councillor Wildman together with the complaints, but I haven't included the attachments relating from Councillor Florence Duke's email consisting of complaints against the then monitoring officer, as those complaints are not relevant to this investigation. This investigation is into a complaint by Councillor Wildman against Florence Jukes and her then complaints against Councillors Clark and Fletcher, all of which are evidenced by the recording, which I think it will be useful for us now to see. And Madam Chair, just to be clear, I'm not proposing that we see the whole of the recording, but just the relevant parts.
wisdom and support have been an enormous help to him. Everything I've done since we got together.
Can everyone hear that?
I'm also pleased to announce that the Vicar of Branston, the Reverend Captain David Collier, has agreed to be my chaplain for the forthcoming year, and I'm looking forward to working with him. I'd like to include in my thanks our past mayor.
Sorry, Councillor, I'm going to move to the relevant part now. So I've clearly got the wrong part.
Mark and I, who I know would appreciate any help that we could give them. I would appreciate from you any help that you could give me in helping their causes.
Extend my congratulations on your election. I'm sure you'll do a fantastic job. I would like to propose the following motion, that we, the Council, record our sincere appreciation for the excellent manner in which Councillor Colin Wildman has carried out his duties as the Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire over the last 2 years, and we acknowledge the interest he has shown in the welfare of all parts of the borough. We would particularly acknowledge his work with voluntary, charitable and sporting bodies. We also wish to place on record our thanks to Councillor Colin Wildman for representing the Council at approximately 159 events during his time in office. We also thank the Mayoress, Ms Jean Hyatt, for her help and support that she's given so readily to him during his time in office. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Leader. Do I have a seconder, please? I see two hands are raised. Councillor Peters? Do you wish to second the motion, Councillor Peters?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Jukes, you have your hands raised. Would you like to speak on the motion?
Please, thank you, Mayor. Congratulations. I will not be voting in support of this motion. I will be voting against it, and I'll encourage other members to do the same or, at the very least, abstain. We're being asked to acknowledge Councillor Wildman's sincere appreciation of the excellent manner in which Councillor Colin Wildman has carried out his duties as Mayor, and additionally acknowledge the interest he has shown in the welfare of all parts of our borough. I don't believe that to be correct. Councillor Wildman's duties as Mayor are twofold. Firstly, there's his civic role, which he hasn't been able to perform because of COVID for half of his tenure. Also, the Mayor's main duties are to preside over full council meetings to ensure that business can be carried out efficiently and ensure that the council meeting is a forum for the debate of matters of concern to all local community and a place in which members who are not on the Cabinet are able to hold the Cabinet to account. I think in this degree he has failed appallingly. Basically, he has bullied opposition members, he's belittled them, he's shouted at fellow councillors, particularly Councillor Chowdhury and Councillor Hussain. He deliberately mispronounced Councillor Grosvenor's name, a councillor that he's known for however many years. At the last couple of meetings, he's decided to call him Grosvenor, which is a complete insult to him personally, and I think is belittling. All this is recorded for posterity, by the way, by our council meetings being recorded. He continually interrupts opposition members mid-flow when they're speaking to motions. He's done this on several occasions to me and to other fellow opposition members, which is just plain rude. He's been rude, disrespectful. I was contacted by a female member of the public after a recent meeting to say how appalled she was at how he'd basically bullied me during a council meeting. I didn't know this woman, didn't know her at all. And she felt that incensed that she was going to put in a complaint, whether she did or not, I don't know. But that is indicative of why we see, I believe, so few female members that are councillors because of attitudes like this, the bullying. It reinforces that bullying. And on that particular meeting, I think there was 20-odd, close to 30 members of the public listening in. I don't believe Councillor Warman acted in a responsible manner as mayor, and he did a great disservice to us as councillors. It's no wonder that very few females want to be councillors. He's also got an alarming lack of understanding of our council's constitution. This has been at the detriment to not only me representing the Horning, Low and Eton, but to many councillors representing their wards also. He's not familiar with the rules of debate. He constantly gets that wrong. In terms of proposing amendments to motions during meetings, he completely gets that wrong also. In raising a point of order, he gets that wrong. Proposing motions as urgent business, he gets that wrong also. So he's done a great disservice to the people of this borough, I believe. Also, he's abused his position of mayor by, on his personal Facebook page, displaying a profile picture of him in his mayoral regalia, in his robes and his chains, and at the same time advertising his private garden business. That's a major misjudgment of his role as councillor, and I think that's a real abuse of his role as councillor. But worryingly, he's prevented me and other members bringing amendments to motions falsely quoting the constitution, which is abhorrent, I think. I'm sure I can see all the usual suspects' hands up with their choruses of isn't he a jolly good fellow, their pre-scripted, pre-rehearsed choruses of, oh no, he's a great mayor. And I'm sure from their perspective, he is a great mayor because he's managed to shut down the opposition in so many ways. And I think that has been absolutely awful for all of us. We've all been democratically voted in equally, and yet he silenced opposition members. He treats opposition members with disdain while treating members of his own party with reverence, and that can't be right. So I'm really heartened to hear the incumbent mayor, and I'm really hoping that she treats all councillors, no matter what colour rosette they're wearing, or none in my case, with the same respect and allows a proper debate in this council, because Councillor Wellman certainly hasn't. And for those that are endorsing this vote of thanks, then they need to ask themselves a few questions, because they're endorsing bullying, they're endorsing incorrect behaviour in this council chamber. The mayor should take the lead in all matters to do with the council. And when that mayor isn't fair, doesn't treat others with the same respect, then that is a major disservice. So I would encourage people to either vote against this or at the very least abstain, because I certainly will be voting against it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I think we might have some other opinions here. Councillor Peters, would you like to express your feelings, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Right then, Chair, over to you. Oh, apologies. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I think it's just worth reflecting that in Councillor Wellman's evidence, and you've got the statement in your appendix, he did say how hurt he was by the comments. He felt that his character had been unfairly and wrongly assassinated, and the majority of the members simply did not believe what she'd said. The leader of the opposition, bearing in mind what we've just heard, said that what Councillor Florence Jukes had said was totally wrong. His Lady Mayor is in tears. Well, he went on about the complaints around chairing meetings, that he has to make decisions here and there, rule on matters at the meetings as they take place, but he always takes advice from the monitoring officer and the chief executive, and his decision as to those matters is final in accordance with the Constitution. As it was said, he attended a large number of engagements, 159, although obviously COVID had an impact on the number that he would be going to go to. And he said, I think it's outrageous to make the claim, as Councillor Florence Jukes did, to say that he did very little. He said, I'm shocked by them and it still hurts. It almost made me feel I could jump off a bridge. I regarded her comments, given the efforts he'd put in, as very, very hurtful. Now, I have made findings in my report, Chairman, but I hasten to add that those findings are simply to assist you and the rest of the committee. The decision is yours, and it has to be yours. But I have made findings as to, as your monitoring officer said, on the civil evidence test, and that's the balance of probabilities. Is it more likely than not that something happened? And the first thing that has to be decided is, did the code of conduct apply? Well, given this was councillors speaking at an annual meeting, I think it's beyond doubt that the code of conduct would apply to the comments made at the meeting. And then in his complaint, Councillor Wilmer says he thinks Councillor Florence Jukes has breached paragraph 3.1. Councillors must treat each other with respect. Now, given that Councillor Florence Jukes did not make herself available for interview, despite my attempts to secure that, and despite the fact that she has only provided me with evidence that I've referred to, which is either irrelevant or which I am able to look at, all I can go on is what I observed at the meeting, the evidence of Councillor Wildman, and the various relevant documents I've seen. And it's clear from the evidence provided by Councillor Wildman that he did take advice from officers in accordance with decisions he needed to make, and I don't think that he can be criticised for following the advice of professional officers. Whilst Councillor Florence Jukes complained in her comments about bullying, I have received no evidence of this. And the comments made by many of the members, had we gone on, who replied to the motion, suggested very strongly that they did not agree with her comments. And I think it's normal that that at the annual meeting, members do pay thanks to the efforts of the outgoing mayor, and it's extremely unfortunate, in my view, you may differ, that Councillor Florence Jukes took this opportunity of the thanks to the mayor to make the statement that she did. And I don't know what was behind her comments, because, as I say, I have been unable, despite efforts, to interview her or see any of the evidence. But it's very clear that, with the exception of Councillor Grosvenor, comments made by other members felt that her comments were unfounded and should not have been made. And I'm not suggesting by saying that there is not... if members are unhappy about the way in which a mayor or any chairman conducts the meeting, then that cannot be raised, but there is a time and place for doing so. So whether or not it's a breach, I think it's highly relevant to consider the role of the mayor. The mayor is the senior public-facing member of the council, the first citizen, often called, and it's important, I think, that that role is seen particularly by members of the council in conducting the authorities, that the role of the mayor is recognised, support and respected by those members of the authority. Because if they don't do that, what example does that set to the rest of the community as to the regard in which they should hold the local authority and the members of that local authority as well? So in my view, it's important that members do behave in a way that shows respect to the office of mayor. And all standing orders always provide for that respect to be shown to the mayor. If the mayor stands up, everybody falls silent. Because those show the respect for the office and the person who's having that office. So it seemed to me that it was a reasonable assumption to make that by her comments, Councillor Florence Jukes was demeaning and disrespecting not only Councillor Wildman, but also the office of mayor. And the particular position of Councillor Wildman as the mayor seems to me to bring a stronger focus upon the very important requirement for respect amongst members, and therefore to the evidence which points to a breach by Councillor Florence Jukes. So it therefore seems to me that her behaviour at the meeting was capable of providing evidence sufficient to find a breach of the code. Now, looking at that, the next step is to consider whether or not a finding of a breach would interfere with Councillor Florence Jukes' right to freedom of expression, because we all have rights under the Human Rights Act, the European Convention of Human Rights, and politicians of whatever level of politics are entitled to enhanced protection under those provisions. And the recent case law, I refer to it in my report, shows that all members, so in this case, Councillor Florence Jukes, Councillor Clark, Councillor Fletcher, were all entitled to express their political opinion on matters of public interest and benefit from that. However, that protection is not absolute. The Code of Conduct was approved by the government to protect the reputation of local government and of the members who serve in it. And as well as the freedom of speech, there is a right for people not to be the subject of offensive or abusive or defamatory remarks. The legislation prevents that. So where even though councillors are expected to have thick skins, you will all know that, and accept their position may attract adverse comment, when what is complained upon is a personal attack, which in my view this was, there is case law which says that where those words are no more than expressions of political anger and abuse, and are not political expression, that they don't attract that higher level of protection. So whilst this is finely balanced, considering what was said by Councillor Florence Jukes, I do not accept that the enhanced protection protects her remarks and provides that they do not constitute a breach. I find that her lengthy and apparently pre-prepared statement about Councillor Wildman's behaviour is extreme and amounts to a personal attack, not to be comments of a political nature, despite being made by a politician in the Council chamber. So as far as my findings are concerned, and I've dealt in my report with the actions of Councillors Clark and Fletcher as well, and we could go on and hear them if you wish, but I'm not sure that we need to, Madam Chair, it's up to you. I think that there is sufficient evidence that the Code of Conduct applies, and there is sufficient evidence to make a finding that her actions, as complained of by Councillor Wildman, meant that Councillor Florence Jukes was in breach of the Code of Conduct, in particular paragraph 3.1 and the Nolan principles of honesty and leadership. I do not think that there is sufficient evidence to make a finding that by their actions Councillor Clark or Councillor Fesher committed a breach of the code. Unless I can assist you further.
Thank you very much. So, would any members of the Standards Committee like to ask the investigating officer any questions? Councillor Goodfellow.
Thank you, Chair. I have a brief question now, but I also have a request of you, in that given the investigating officer's comments thus far are on the basis of not having spoken to Councillor Florence Jukes nor heard presumably what she may say this evening, that we also reserve a right to ask the investigating officer questions following Councillor Florence Jukes' statement. That isn't in the
Yes, I did ask. I did wonder that earlier, if because I thought after the committee have asked questions, and given the preliminary issue outlined by the monitoring officer, that it would be good to allow Councillor Florence Jukes to ask questions of the investigating officer. I'm happy for that to go ahead unless any members of the committee feel it should not. So that can go ahead. So then I thought, after you've asked your questions and Councillor Florence Jukes has asked her questions, that could lead to another question from the committee, which is permissible, providing it isn't recapping or going over something that's already been said. So I'm happy for that procedure.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
So my brief question at this point, and it's touching on the comments just made around Councillor Florence Jukes' rights under the freedom of speech legislation. So are you able just to expand a little bit on perhaps a scenario of Councillor Florence Jukes believing what she said to be correct, but perhaps not, in fact. So what are her rights in the circumstance where she says what she believed to be correct and where that crosses the line of becoming defamatory, whether it was knowingly incorrect or not?
the courts have held that where that somebody may hold a view and a strong view, but if there is no, but if it would be unreasonable for them to hold that view, there won't be protection. So that's where I think we probably are on that, really.
Anybody else? Any questions? Certainly.
Mrs. Brown, can I just query and direct you to paragraph 36 in your report? And you make special mention of the fact that the mayor is in a particularly special position, and this was disrespecting the position of mayor. In the circumstances, did you examine whether, in Weller's finding evidence of a breach of 3.1, there was evidence of a breach of 3.9, bringing the council into disrepute?
I did consider that. But I think the stronger one is against 3.3.3.1. I mean, it was raised, the issue of bringing the council to disrepute. And as I say, the fact that the mayor is such an important figure in the council, and as far as the public are concerned, I think it's very important that his office is respected, or her office is respected.
Councillor Locke.
May I ask to what extent in your conclusions the timing of the statement affects those conclusions? I mean, it was during the thanks to the mayor that statement was made. If that statement had been made at some other point in a council meeting, would it have been just as unacceptable? Was the fact that it was made during a thanks particularly relevant here?
I think it does make the circumstances worse, because it is when the mayor is standing down, members pay tribute really to the role that they've played. So I think it was a particularly unfortunate timing, and doubtless deliberate. I think that had those comments been made at any other meeting, I think that they could equally have formed a breach. But I can't speculate upon that because they weren't.
Any further? Councillor Grosvenor?
I have a number of questions. I don't know how you'd like me to ask them one at a time and receive an answer and ask another one, or would you like me to ask them all at the same time?
One at a time.
OK, thank you. When you were instructed to investigate this case on behalf of the council, rather than monitoring officer, was there a cap placed on your fees?
No.
You've suggested that, well, actually, you've not suggested, it is a motion on the council agenda that formed the basis of these comments. Is it typical for any motion on a council agenda to pass through without a debate?
Well, that depends, doesn't it?
Well,
I don't see the point of the question.
Well, the point of the question is you've suggested that Councillor Florence Jukes' comments were entirely negative. There's also been a suggestion that this wasn't the right time to make those comments. From my perspective, it was a motion for debate.
You supported Councillor Florence Jukes.
No, I made my own comments as to why I wasn't supporting the motion for thanks. It was a motion for debate about the thanks for the previous mayor. All motions come with an element of debate, either for or against.
Yes.
They don't entirely have to be positive.
No, that's absolutely true.
And therefore, I believe that this was the correct time to make these comments, because it was a motion for thanks for the mayor that Councillor Florence Jukes wasn't agreeing with, and was giving her reasons as to why she wasn't agreeing with them. So I don't take the point that it wasn't the right timing. I don't take the point that it wasn't the right arena, because it was a motion of thanks for the mayor. So I don't take that point. Secondly, you've also said just now that it was apparently a pre-prepared statement. Is there a problem with somebody coming for a motion? Because I would suggest that the way in which that was suggested, it was strange that somebody comes with a pre-prepared statement. Mm. Councillor Florence Jukes made a number of comments in her statement about the then mayor. I've listed them all, and most of them, in fact all of them, relate to the way in which that mayor has carried out his role during the course of meetings. And she's also made comments to the fact that he hasn't gone to many appointments outside, which is, I understand COVID, but that was, as a matter of fact, he hasn't gone to many appointments. The comments that seem to be a problem are those that relate to his performance in previous meetings that he's chaired as a mayor. Councillor Florence Jukes provided you with recordings, I think, of those previous meetings, which evidenced what she was saying. But those recordings have not been listened to.
Well, they haven't, and I've explained why, Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, well, I want to understand...
Because
I've asked the question... Sorry to interrupt. I've asked the question that, was there a cap on your fees?
No.
There wasn't. There were a number of recordings to listen to, which would have proven, from Councillor Florence Jukes' perspective, what she was saying, but they have not been listened to.
Well,
Sorry, Owen. Chair, for you. Can we keep it respectful?
I'm asking a question.
It's feeling a bit like a cross-examination here, Councillor.
I've got a number of
ask
questions.
Ask your questions slowly. Let the committee absorb what's being said in response, and then move on to your next question.
And that's what I'm trying to do, John.
Thank you. Okay.
There was no cap on my fees, but I am always aware, as I said, I think, when I was opening my report, that I am paid for out of public funds. I gave Councillor Florence Jukes every opportunity to tell me what I should be looking for in those recordings. All I received were copies of recordings through Dropbox account. I received no indication of what I should be looking for. I received no indication of where I should be looking in the recording, or any of the recordings. And I gave her every opportunity. At the start, she said that she would cooperate, but unfortunately, she didn't.
You also said that there was a number of things that you provided with by Councillor Florence Jukes that you felt weren't relevant to the case and they have not been included. But in your appendix, there are a number of things that have been included which don't appear to be relevant to this complaint, i.e. Facebook posts.
Well, those are what I've been provided with by Councillor Wildman. I wasn't given the information by Councillor Florence Jukes, and I can assure you I approach this with a very open mind, Councillor Grosvenor. You know, and it is all I want to do here is to assist the committee.
So if I can finish my question, there are a number of things in there that you've included that aren't relevant, i.e. Facebook posts, emails about the statutes fair, and they aren't relevant to this particular...
Well, they were provided to me and I was able to examine them.
But okay, I'm trying to understand why the things that were provided to you
because
were deemed not to be relevant by you.
Well, I explained why. I mean, those were matters that were provided to me by Councillor Barman. I gave Councillor Florence Jukes every opportunity to provide information to me, but she did not do so in a form. She provided information about complaints about the monitoring officer. As I explained in my opening, that those were outside my instructions. I was not able to do those. I asked her repeatedly for evidence. She said she was going to provide it. All I had were the three Dropbox recordings, and I've explained why I felt that it was inappropriate for me to sit through and watch all of those when I did not know what I was supposed to be looking for.
So, as I've said, and I think it's...
Well, you have your opinion.
As you do.
Yes.
I don't understand why things have been included that aren't relevant, but other things that you deem not to be relevant haven't been included.
Because I haven't deemed them to be relevant.
You also suggested that it's been disrespectful to the office of mayor. Councillor Florence Jukes' comments were specific about the individual, not about the office, and that individual's performance in the role of mayor. I don't understand how that can be disrespectful to the actual office. I don't think Councillor Florence Jukes has made comments previously about other mayors, or since about different mayors, but specifically about that individual. So how, in your opinion, is it disrespectful to the actual office when the comments have been about the person, not the office?
I think it has to be seen in the context of this is something that took place at the annual meeting, the vote of thanks to the mayor for his performance in that office.
To the individual for his performance in that office?
Yes, but in the office of mayor.
But as I've said, she's not been critical of the office, just the individual.
Well, I think, from my view, and of course the committee may differ, it came across to me as a criticism of criticising the way in which somebody carries out the office in the in the context of the annual meeting and the vote of thanks seems to me to be disrespectful to the role of mayor. You may differ, but that's my view.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Councillor Florence Jukes, would you like to ask the investigating officer questions now?
Thank you, Chair. I'm conscious that I'm not a Perry Mason. I don't want to start cross-examining. But I would just like to clarify a few points, please, because obviously you've made some findings and I'm trying to understand how you've arrived at those findings through your investigation. So if I can start, you mentioned you were instructed by Angela Wakefield. What was the scope of that investigation?
To investigate the complaints made against... I haven't got it in front of me, but to investigate the complaint made against you by Councillor Warman.
Okay, thank you. And you mention in section one that you've carried out many investigations, so you're an experienced investigator, would you say? Yeah, okay. What were the agreed timescales for this investigation?
There were none.
I mean, if you go by the LGA's recommendation, they normally say around 6 months unless there's reason for any delay, but yours took a lot less than that, didn't it?
Well, it could have taken, they take as long as they need to take.
Okay, thanks. You mentioned 15th of September that you emailed me. You didn't mention that you got the same out-of-office reply that you got to the August email.
I can't recall.
Yeah, you would have got an out-of-office reply to that as well. And when you spoke about the SRA request, if you recall that when I emailed, I said there was a delay from the ESBC end. I put the SRA in, and as you'll know, it normally takes 28 days. So I put it in June, expecting a return by probably early July. However, ESBC themselves asked for a two-month extension on that. So I did email you again and say, because I was awaiting information from that SRA, I wouldn't be in a position until around mid-September to give you the information that I'd spoken about.
Well, I deal with absolutely with that in my report, and I say paragraph 15, because you absolutely rightly say that you submitted a subject access request and that had an extended response period. You wouldn't be in a position to provide all relevant information by that, but you say you'll provide further documents as and when you're collecting emails. And I replied saying that I couldn't really understand what the relevance was, given the complaints relates to events of the council meeting, annual meeting in April 2021. I can appreciate, given some of your allegations against Castle Wild meeting, that you may wish to produce some evidence in support of this, but I do not see why this has to await the SRA results. I will ask you please for further available dates for interviews over the next few weeks. If in the meantime there is further evidence you wish me to consider, please send that to me.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned that you had no evidence of bullying by Councillor Warmer, but that's not correct, because I did send you the member conduct complaint that I'd submitted about Councillor Warmer, and that was also in the bundle of all the other documents that you received.
Have you got copies of that?
Not to hand,
okay.
But I have.
I can't. Well, if I had seen evidence from you against Councillor Warman, then I can assure you I would have considered it.
It was sent with the same bundle, if you like. I think I'm going to leave it there for the moment, because in what I intend to say, I go into a lot more detail about your investigation, and it may be that you yourself have got questions or other members have got questions. So I'm conscious that I don't want to make it an interrogation session, so I'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I think what's been agreed, Chair, is that we're opening up to councillors again. More questions, yeah. And then we'll come back.
Right, yeah. So does anyone have any further questions?
Is it possible to ask Councillor Wylam a question?
To clarify there, Councillor Groves, there, Councillor Wylam has been called as a witness by... Councillor Wylam hasn't been called as a witness by Ms Brown. there's no opportunity to ask him a question. You would have to ask the committee for permission, but even if the committee gave permission, they can't compel Councillor Wildman to sit there and give evidence, so to speak. So it's a bit of a redundant question, if you understand me. But I appreciate why you're asking it.
No, I'd just like to ask Councillor Wildman one question, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. We'll now move to Councillor Florence Dukes for you to state your case.
Thank you. It is very lengthy and very detailed, so it's going to take me quite a while to read out. It is in sections, though, so if you like, I can sort of pause at each section and then see if you're happy to go on or if you want to have a break.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the reason we're all here tonight is for the Standards Committee to consider if, as an elected politician to this council, I have breached the Councillor Code of Conduct as alleged by Councillor Wildman. The complaint made against me by Councillor Wildman centres solely on comments I made in response to a motion on notice brought forward by Councillor Goodfellow at the annual council meeting on the 26th of April last year, and in which Councillor Goodfellow proposed a vote of thanks to the retired Mayor, Councillor Wildman. Once Councillor Goodfellow had moved the motion, the Mayor, Councillor Aykroyd, opened the item up for debate. I was invited to speak, which is my constitutional right to do so under Section 16 of the Rules of Debate. This was the correct forum for me to say what I said. It was a debate, and I was being asked to give a vote. It was no different to any other business that comes to council at which members debate. It is usual for me to get to my feet, join meetings and debate the item at hand and then indicate which way I intend to vote and give the reasons why. This occasion was no different. For some to argue that it's tradition to always give a vote of thanks to the Mayor are mistaken. Historically, this has not always been the case. In addition, to be vilified for voicing an opinion against a former mayor during debate because it goes against tradition and all I felt coerced into giving a vote of thanks because it's tradition are dangerous roads to go down and distinctly undemocratic. You will note that what I spoke against specifically was the call to show sincere appreciation of the excellent manner in which Councillor Colin Wildman had carried out his duties as mayor and additionally acknowledged the interest he had shown in the welfare of all parts of the borough. This section of the motion was the only part I spoke out against. In fact, you'll have heard from the recording that I drew a distinct difference between Councillor Wildman's civic role within the community, which I point out he hadn't been able to perform for half of his tenure due to the pandemic and associated lockdowns, as opposed to him presiding over council meetings. It was his role of chairing meetings that I gave the reasons why I couldn't support the vote of thanks. It is my democratic right to speak to motions such as this, and for 10 minutes, the same as every other member. And I'd suggest democracy depends on people being free to express debate and criticise opposing viewpoints. Differences of opinion and the defence of those opinions through councillors' arguments and the public debate are an essential part of the cut and thrust of political life. And this comes from the LGA. This is what they're saying. Councillor Wildman's complaint against me that we are hearing tonight can be summarised into two distinct parts. The first part is Councillor Wildman's allegation that the entirety of the comments I made are untrue, and the second part is that what I said hurt his feelings. With regard to the allegations by Councillor Wildman that I have not been truthful, I will start by referring to the second paragraph of Councillor Wildman's written complaint against me. He states he wishes to make a complaint about the entirety of my remarks and accuses me of being untruthful in the entirety of what I said. At section one of the complaint, Councillor Wildman states that when I called him a bully, I was being untruthful, and further along states twice that I have been untruthful. In addition, in his statement provided to the investigator, paragraph 3, Councillor Wildman states, I know the comments made by Councillor Florence Jukes are untrue. Further, at paragraph 4, Councillor Wildman says, her comments are very hurtful and untrue. And again in paragraph 15, I know her comments are untrue. In total, Councillor Wildman accuses me of being untruthful in the entirety of my comments on seven separate occasions. With regards to Councillor Wildman's feelings, the written complaint and interview statement both reference Councillor Wildman's assertion that he found my comments to be varying degrees of hurtful, either hurtful, deeply hurtful, very, very hurtful. He uses the term hurtful. Committee members will be aware of what I said at the meeting from listening to the recording. In summary, I said that Councillor Wildman had bullied and belittled opposition members, shouted at opposition members, specifically Councillors Chowdhury and Hussein, deliberately mispronounced Councillor Grosvenor's name as Grosvenor, been rude and disrespectful to opposition members, interrupted opposition members during debates and silenced them, and had an alarming lack of knowledge of the Constitution in relation to urgent business, points of order, amendments to motions, rules of debate. I also said that he abused his position as mayor by having a profile picture of himself in the mayoral regalia on his private Facebook page, which advertised his personal garden business. I also described the detrimental way that this has affected the residents I represent in Horninglow and at that time Eton, and also the borough as a whole, and in turn how it impacted my effectiveness as an elected councillor. So Councillor Wildman asserts that the entirety of my remarks are untrue, and Mrs Brown agrees with him, as detailed in the findings of the report. Having listened to the recording, you will note that at no point do I accuse Councillor Wildman of breaking this council's code of conduct. At no point do I do that. And yet Councillor Wildman goes into detail both in his written complaint and during interview about being exonerated by the previous monitoring officer, Angela Wakefield, regarding code of conduct complaints made against him. Those complaints are inconsequential to the comments I made during debate because I don't reference any formal complaints. Also, Councillor Wildman states during interview, section 2 in his statement, I ran in the election as part of the independent group. This is untrue, I didn't. And of his statement, he states, I there feel that it's outrageous to make a claim, as Councillor Florence Jukes did, to say that I did very little during my term. This is untrue, and we know that from listening to the recording. At no point did I say such a thing. I do, however, say a series of comments that are the truth and are factual, and I shall now go through the supporting evidence. I'm just going to get a drink. Sorry, parched mouth. Again, this is quite detailed because I reference incidents at quite a few meetings. So during the private session of a meeting held shortly after Councillor Wildman became mayor in 2019, I was arguing against a proposal brought forward by the controlling group concerning a large capital investment they intended to make. Whilst I was speaking, Councillor Wildman interrupted me maybe 5 or 6 times. He raised his voice and almost shouted at me, "Get to the point or sit down." Each time I recommenced speaking, he'd interrupt me again. I was in no way going off topic or not speaking to the motion. I was directing my speech to the matter under debate, in line with the rules of debate, section 16. I felt Councillor Wildman's interruptions were politically motivated because I was speaking against his group. I found his treatment of me uncalled for, disrespectful and humiliating. After the meeting, he spoke with me in the chambers upstairs and tried to make light of it and said for me not to take it personally, it was just he'd been told to keep me in line. I did request a recording of the meeting from Democratic Services, but because it was held in private session, there isn't one. During a meeting of the 24th of February 2020, and a recording of this meeting is available on the website, Item 8 on the agenda was the MTFS. After presentation of this item by the former leader, Councillor Goodfellow, Councillor Wildman asks, would anybody like to debate on this issue? Councillor Chowdhury is invited to speak by Councillor Wildman, but Councillor Wildman interrupts Councillor Chowdhury after a couple of minutes of speaking and another three times after that, and is insistent Councillor Chowdhury asks a question of the leader. Councillor Chowdhury said it was a debate and that he was getting to a question. Councillor Wildman shouts, he actually shouts at Councillor Chowdhury five times to sit down. Councillor Chowdhury appeals to Councillor Wildman, please hear me out, and he says that what he was saying feeds into the budget. Councillor Chowdhury accuses Councillor Wildman of stifling the debate and that he will sit down but under protest. At the same meeting, item 10 on the agenda was the council tax setting. Councillor Wildman opens the motion to debate and invites Councillor Chowdhury to speak. Councillor Chowdhury reiterates his objection at being stopped during the debate on the MTFS, and after about a minute, Councillor Wildman says, I'm going to stop you again, and goes on to say that the reason he stopped Councillor Chowdhury previously was because he insulted him as mayor by Councillor Chowdhury's accusation that he doesn't allow debate in the chamber. Councillor Wildman then excluded Councillor Chowdhury from the debate by inviting other councillors to speak. Excuse me. So Councillor Chowdhury was prevented from contributing to an important discussion on the council tax setting. Both these incidents illustrate the shouting I referred to, the interrupting during debate of opposition members and not allowing opposition members to debate council business. In addition, I personally found Councillor Wildman to be rude and disrespectful towards Councillor Chowdhury. The incident was very uncomfortable to watch. Just so we're clear, you were there, Councillor Clawr, and as was Councillor Goodfellow. Councillors Fletcher and Grosvenor weren't present at that meeting, and Councillor Locke hadn't yet been elected to ESBC at that point. So the next meeting of the 21st of December 2020, again, a recording of this meeting is available on the website. Item 7 on the agenda was the appointment of Deputy Leader. This appeared on the agenda as a motion on notice, but when it was presented by the then leader, Councillor Goodfellow, the appointment of Deputy Leader was made as an announcement and was for noting only. Councillor Grosvenor attempts to make a point of order by saying, point of order, Mr. Mayor. And I say a similar thing, that I'd like to make a point of order. Councillor Wildman immediately says, I'm not going to allow that. This was without even hearing what the rule or laws were that Councillor Grosvenor and myself considered had been breached. Rule 16, Part 3 of the Council's Constitution stipulates a councillor may stand up to make a point of order and shall be entitled to speak immediately on that point of order. Councillor Wildman didn't let us do that. Councillor Grosvenor appeals to Councillor Wildman's against Councillor Wildman's refusal to take the point of order, and eventually, on advice from the monitoring officer, Councillor Grosvenor is indeed that she says he is indeed correct, and the point of orders proceed. This is an example of Councillor Wildman's lack of understanding of the Constitution. Again, there was members of this panel at that meeting. Meeting of the 22nd of February 2021, a recording of this meeting is available on the website. Item 3 on the agenda, to approve minutes of the previous meeting. I raised a point of order by challenging the legality of agreeing minutes as correct with regards to the Council's readoption of the Constitution, as Councillor Wildman had stipulated in his opening comments to the meeting, that he intended following a different procedure to that specified in the Constitution regards the procedure for raising a point of order. Councillor Wildman didn't seek advice from the monitoring officer and simply said, I don't accept your point of order for a start, I will just carry on with the meeting, and moved on. Item 5 on the agenda at that same meeting was urgent business. Councillor Wildman announced, I've considered there is no urgent business, so we'll move on. In actual fact, Councillor Grosvenor had proposed an urgent motion on notice that day, and I'd agreed to second it. Although Councillor Warman had taken the decision prior to the meeting that the motion was not urgent, he didn't bring it forward for the Council to vote on as specified under section 12.2 of part 3 of the Constitution. I can go into what that says, but basically what it says is that if the Mayor decides that a motion isn't urgent, what should happen is the Mayor brings it to the Council chamber and then the attending members vote on it, decide if it's urgent. If it is, it proceeds. If it's not, it's carried over to the next meeting. That didn't happen. So basically, we were denied bringing that motion forward. And it was an important motion on notice. It was about the Uttoxeter Master Plan. Item 7 on the agenda was the MTFS. I proposed an amendment to the item, and Councillor Grosvenor agreed to second it. Councillor Warman refused to take the amendment, stating amendments must be given to him in writing prior to any meeting. This is not true. Section 16.18 of the Constitution deals with amendments. They do not have to be delivered to the Mayor prior to the commencement of a meeting. Councillors Chowdhury and Grosvenor and I all attempt to make various points of order to challenge Councillor Warman's decision. And although he acknowledges that we're standing and want to make points of order, he ignores us and gives the floor to the leader, Councillor Goodfellow. Then Councillor Warman accuses me of getting the procedure wrong, speaks down to me, refers to me as she 6 times in the same sentence. Councillor Chowdhury appeals to Councillor Warman by saying he feels it's an utter travesty not to allow the amendment and urges the Mayor to reconsider and give all members their democratic right to speak. Councillor Warman at this point acknowledges that I wish to make a further point of order, but says I'm not going to take this point of order, it's just getting silly. And this is a further example of Councillor Warman refusing to take points of order contrary to the Constitution. Following debate on this item, Councillor Warman announces he is moving to the vote. Councillor Hussain says, "Mr. Mayor," at which point Councillor Warman shouts out, "Councillor Hussain, do not interrupt. This is an issue." Councillor Hussain explains that he has had his hand up for a long time as he wished to speak on the item, but Councillor Warman was not giving him the floor. This is the example I gave of Councillor Warman shouting at Councillor Hussain. Item 9 on the agenda of that same meeting, council tax setting. Councillor Grosvenor indicated he wished to speak on the item, and Councillor Warman calls him into the debate by saying, "Councillor Grosvenor," or "Grosvenor," should I say. Councillor Grosvenor replies, "Grosvenor, actually, Mr. Mayor, you got it right the first time." And this is the deliberate mispronunciation that I refer to. Never in any of the meetings that I've been to since 2017 as Councillor Warman ever called Councillor Grosvenor Councillor Grosvenor. And had he said, "Councillor Grosvenor, sorry, I mean Councillor Grosvenor," then you could have accepted that. But he deliberately called him Councillor Grosvenor. And that was really belittling. And I know Councillor Grosvenor thought the same because he put in a complaint about it. Then move on to the meeting of the 1st of March 2021, and again a recording of this meeting is available on the website. Item 5 on the agenda is urgent business. Councillor Warman states, "I've decided there is no urgent business, so we'll move on." Councillor Fletcher challenges Councillor Warman on this announcement that there's no urgent business, as the Labour group were aware prior to the meeting that Councillor Grosvenor had proposed an urgent motion on notice regarding the Uttoxeter Master Plan. I had been asked to second the motion and had prepared some notes on it. Councillor Grosvenor and I were fully expecting the motion to be allowed, as no communication from the Mayor had been forthcoming prior to the meeting to rule otherwise. Councillor Fletcher continues to challenge Councillor Warman on this and ask the question, "How do we judge you've made the right decision?" "I don't have to give you a reason," said Councillor Warman. "The Mayor's decision is final." Councillor Fletcher replied, "It will be remembered, Mr. Mayor. I'm disappointed." As previously mentioned in the other meeting, that's not the right procedure. The right procedure is that if the Mayor decides it's not urgent, then it comes to Council and we vote on it. So again, opposition were prevented from bringing what was to us an important matter forward. Item 6 at that same meeting was Deputy Leader Statements, Regeneration and Planning was the particular one. Councillor Grosvenor is speaking during the debate and is only a few minutes in when Councillor Wyman interrupts him 3 times and keeps talking over him and telling him to get to the point. Councillor Grosvenor states he has 10 minutes to talk and that what he's saying is a preamble to his question. Just as Councillor Grosvenor says, "I would like to ask," Councillor Wyman cuts him off by muting his mic. And this was, at this point, 6 minutes in. This is a further example of Councillor Wyman stifling debate. So the incidents I've detailed substantiate the comments I made about Councillor Wyman, namely that he bullied and belittled opposition members, shouted at opposition members, specifically Councillors Chowdhury and Hussein, deliberately mispronounced Councillor Grosvenor's name as Councillor Grosvenor, being rude and disrespectful to opposition members, interrupted opposition members during debates and silenced them, and had an alarming lack of knowledge of the Constitution in relation to urgent business, points of order, amendments to motions and rules of debate. Right, I'm at that juncture. Shall I carry on? No.
Yeah, if we could have a 10-minute adjournment as a comfort break for everybody. So that's back at 5 to 8, please. So Councillor Florence Jukes, if you'd like to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Wyman claims all the comments I made about him are untrue. Recordings for all but one of the meetings are in the public domain and are freely available on the ESBC website for all to hear. I spoke the truth as I have evidence. I stated as fact that Councillor Wyman bullied me in council meetings. This is true. Whilst there is no legal definition of bullying, the LGA, their definition is as follows. Bullying may be characterised as offensive, intimidating, malicious, insulting or humiliating behaviour, an abuse or misuse of power that can make a person feel vulnerable, upset, undermined, humiliated, denigrated or threatened. Bullying may be obvious or be hidden or insidious. Such conduct is usually part of a pattern of behaviour which attempts to undermine an individual or group of individuals. Bullying can impact on a councillor's ability to represent their residents effectively. It can discourage candidates from standing in local elections, making local authorities less representative of their communities and impacting local democracy. You will recall that I specifically spoke about the underrepresentation of women as councillors during my debate, and of the lady who contacted me and spoke about the bullying behaviour she'd witnessed against me by Councillor Wyman at the meeting. What I will say is it's not for any individual, including Councillor Wyman or indeed others from this authority, to decide if any person has been bullied or not. It is wholly a matter of how the individual being bullied is made to feel from the actions of their bully. The LGA goes on to give some specific examples of bullying, which include verbal abuse, such as shouting, insults, sarcasm, ridiculing or demeaning others, inappropriate nicknames or humiliating language, abuse of authority or power, ostracising or excluding someone from meetings. I've evidenced incidents from meetings chaired by Councillor Wyman, which I believe include all the example types of bullying listed by the LGA. In addition, witnessing the bullying of others is recognised as potentially having the same detrimental impact on the witness as it has on the victim themselves. Other counsellors have told me how they felt humiliated, undermined and insulted by Councillor Wildman in meetings. I personally feel I should be able to undertake my role as councillor without being treated unfairly or bullied by Councillor Wildman at meetings. It got to a point where his continuing unfair and disrespectful attitude towards me got so bad it was interfering with the democratic process by preventing me from doing what I was duly elected to do. I have the democratic right to challenge and hold to account. These are the important aspects of a democratic process. But on occasions, Councillor Wildman's actions prevented me and others from doing so. I was always respectful to Councillor Wildman as mayor in meetings, and yet, on some occasions, he didn't afford me the same courtesy. I believe he deliberately set out to humiliate and mock me. Only I know how the actions of Councillor Wildman made me feel, and I felt then, and still feel now, bullied by him. He no longer has his position as mayor to bully me. He is instead using this complaint system. It's worthy of note as well that Councillor Wildman didn't put in his complaint about me until 3 weeks after the incident, and I do have it on good authority that it wasn't him that wrote it, it was his son that wrote it. If you look at the complaint, it is full of legal ease, like legal speak, and his son is the solicitor. And the person that told me that his son had written it, was the chief executive. So I've every reason to believe
through
that...
Through you, Chair. Councillor Florence Jukes, we have to be careful in terms of relevance. We need to focus on the breach. I appreciate what you're saying, but what you're doing there is bringing another party into this.
Okay,
we've got the complaint
enough.
As it is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In terms of Councillor Wildman displaying a picture of himself in his mayoral regalia on his private Facebook page advertising Colin Wildman garden services, I was correct in what I said. I was telling the truth. Councillor Wildman admits to displaying the image during interview contained in Section 8 of Councillor Wildman's statement. I didn't mention anything about it being a breach of the code of conduct. What I said was he abused his position as mayor and that it was a major misjudgment. That is my opinion, of which I am entitled to. The LGA model code of conduct specifically mentions councillors using their position outside of council business to seek or gain advantage for themselves, and specifically mentions wearing official local authority regalia. The chains of the Office of East Staffordshire of Mayor are clearly official council regalia. I have evidence how I was truthful in all I said about Councillor Wildman, contrary to what Councillor Wildman has stated, and also contrary to the findings of Mrs. Brown. I have most definitely not been untruthful. I will now address my...
Through you, Chair. Forgive me, Councillor Florence Jukes. Councillor Grosvenor. I've seen you on a number of occasions glare at Miss Brown. Please, please, can you stop doing that? Conduct yourself appropriately. No, I've watched it on multiple occasions. Any kind of suggestion can be taken from that. Please, stop. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now address my legal right to freedom of expression, but if I can first draw the committee's attention to Part 4L of the Constitution, Appendix 3, at 1.5. If there is any inconsistency between this procedure and the requirements of legislation, the latter will prevail. So freedom of expression, we heard Mrs. Brown talk about it, but I'd like to go into a bit more detail on it. The fundamental defence to the comments I made are enshrined in legislation in Article 10 of the European Convention of Human Rights, which gives protection to all of us. We have a right as citizens to freedom of expression, to hold our own opinions and to express them freely without government interference. Protection under Article 10 extends to the expression of views that may shock, disturb or offend, and allows those views to be communicated in any form, written or spoken. So clearly this includes me speaking at council meetings. But of crucial significance is that Article 10 affords an even greater protection to politicians. It provides an enhanced protection to freedom of expression to those engaged in the political sphere. And that's at all levels, which includes local government, so it includes me. This enhanced protection of freedom of expression goes above and beyond that afforded to those not in the political arena. So in essence, it gives me an even greater protection to express my views than any ordinary citizen. And this is a crucial point. Part 2 of the LGA Model Councillor Code of Conduct of 2020 goes into detail about freedom of expression in local government and highlights the enhanced protection under the ECHR Article 10 legislation. Article 10 protects not only the substance of what is said, but also the form in which it is conveyed. Therefore, in a political context, a degree of immoderate, offensive, shocking, disturbing, exaggerated, provocative, colourful, emotive, non-rational and even aggressive expression that would not be acceptable outside this context is tolerated. So a much wider degree of tolerance is accorded to political speech. Article 10 also protects the right to make incorrect but honestly made statements. Political expression is a broad concept and it's not limited to expressions of or criticisms of political views, but it extends to all matters of public administration and public concern, including comments about the adequacy or inadequacy of performance of public duties by others. Therefore, this clearly includes my criticism of Councillor Wildman's performance as mayor, as I spoke about in the debate. In addition, my comments were of a political nature. I was commenting on Councillor Wildman's performance as mayor. The courts have generally held the right to freedom, to free expression should not be curtailed simply because others may find it offensive or insulting, or in the case of Councillor Wildman, hurtful. There exists numerous case law regarding a politician's enhanced right to freedom of expression. I consider Mrs. Brown has been rather selective in the example she referenced in her report at paragraph 41, Sanders v. Kingston, and in general, I would say, decidedly narrow in her personal interpretation of the enhanced protection afforded to politicians. At paragraph 38 of Mrs. Brown's report, she references Robinson v. Bucks as counsel. Robinson v. Bucks Council as case law. The committee will note the ruling of Mrs. Justice Lang in this case, which was in favour of the claimant's right to freedom of expression, and rightly so. The committee will have noted the circumstances surrounding the events at the parish council were far more complex than this complaint, and still the courts ruled in favour of the claimant. At paragraph 41 of Mrs. Brown's report, she references Sanders v. Kingston from 2005 as case law. The committee will note the facts of this case are in the extreme and involve a truly abhorrent series of events which are disturbing and extremely offensive, not least of all to the grieving family of a young serviceman who had committed suicide. There can be absolutely no comparison drawn between that case and the comments I made at the meeting, none whatsoever. I am in receipt of advice from counsel who are experts in the area of freedom of speech and strongly encourage the committee to take considered advice from the monitoring officer with regard to my legal rights to freedom of expression. Strasbourg recognises that because politicians are public servants engaged in politics who voluntarily enter that arena, politicians are subject to wider limits of acceptable criticism. They are expected and required to have thicker skins and have more tolerance to comment than ordinary citizens. This very point was highlighted to me in a decision notice issued by the former monitoring officer, Andrew Wakefield, regarding my complaint against Councillor Wildman. So for consistency, if it applies to me, then that same ruling should also apply to Councillor Wildman. I refer to the case that Mrs. Brown referred to, Robinson v. Bucks Council case law, and Mrs. Justice Lang's ruling relating to ground D of that judgment, which the claimant alleged that the defendant, Bucks Council, acted unreasonably, inconsistently and unfairly in adopting a different approach to the freedom of speech in complaints against two individual counsellors. Mrs. Justice Lang ruled the approach should have been the same in both cases, as one was treated more favourably over the other. Investigation by Mrs. Brown. I turn now to the investigation and associated report undertaken by Mrs. Brown. Chair, I will be referring to specific parts of the report, so perhaps committee members may wish to have it at hand. So I'll start by saying the role of an investigator is not to try to prove guilt, but rather to gather evidence from both sides and present the facts in a balanced and fair way. Crucially, an investigator should take care to distinguish facts from opinions and assumptions and take an objective and balanced view of all the information that comes to light, ensuring that evidence that points towards innocence is given equal weight to any evidence that points towards guilt. First and foremost, I have to say I do not consider Mrs. Brown to have conducted a thorough and fair investigation into the complaint made against me, and her report is neither fair nor balanced. Mrs. Brown's findings are not based on facts or supported by sufficient evidence, in my view. Furthermore, I consider Mrs. Brown's report to be heavily weighted in favour of Councillor Wireman. In addition, Mrs. Brown expresses her personal opinions several times in the report, as opposed to sticking solely to the facts of the matter. And I say this with some degree of experience on how to conduct a fair and thorough investigation. I myself have conducted what must be hundreds of investigations during my careers in the military and the Metropolitan Police. And in addition to that, of conducting my own investigations, I had the responsibility of supervising, probably as many again, conducted by junior colleagues. I am therefore able to recognise the difference between a fair and objective investigation against one that is not. I stated clearly from the outset of the investigation that I was willing to cooperate fully with Mrs. Brown's investigation. At no point did I refuse to be interviewed. It was the case that I was not given a fair opportunity to do so. So if I turn to the report itself, at paragraph 12 of her report, Mrs. Brown has been selective in not only detailing part of the contents of, has been selective in detailing only half of the contents of an email I sent her on the 30th of June 2021. That email illustrates my commitment to cooperating fully with the investigation, and it reads as follows. The first part Mrs. Brown did read out, but then there's a whole other chunk to it as well. I would like to assure you, Alwyn, that you can rely on my full cooperation with your investigation. This, of course, includes participation in any remote interviews you may wish to have with me. Councillor Wireman is contesting all statements made by me during my response to the motion calling for a vote of thanks. Councillor Wireman chaired 13 council meetings during his tenure as mayor. For me to substantiate my remarks, I will need to review the recordings of all 13 meetings. Some are currently available on the ESB website, others are not. I am in the process of requesting those recordings which are not freely available. In addition, there are a number of emails, some held by other councillors, pertaining to refusals by Councillor Wireman to allow urgent motions at meetings. I will need to gather these together for you. If you are in agreement, I would like to write a statement detailing all matters relating to the complaint in sequential order. I think this would assist you with your investigation. In terms of witnesses, I anticipate naming four after I've gathered relevant evidence together. As you will appreciate, the gathering of such a large amount of evidence will take me some time, but you have my promise that I will work as quickly as I possibly can. I have no wish to frustrate proceedings. So there I give a clear indication that I want to cooperate with the investigation, but I do say that there's an awful lot of work that I need to do. At no point in a reply did Mrs. Brown ever say to me, well, you've only got a certain amount of time to do this, I'm on a tight schedule. And that was never explained to me. There is mention that I give notice that I've got little availability in July. As it happened, it was the other way around. I had got availability in July, but Mrs. Brown hadn't. She was on holiday. It was August that I was really stuck for. And then again in September, it was an issue that Mr. Teasdale knows about. I did communicate with you what it was. It was a family member. In addition to that, the subject access request that I've already detailed, I said there was a delay on that. That was ESBC that caused that delay, in my opinion. And I note that Mrs. Brown has not included this email in an appendix to her report, only a short extract from it. In response to comments made by Mrs. Brown at paragraph 7 to her report, that more councillors spoke in support of Councillor Wildman than against, it could also be viewed that a greater number of councillors made no comment at all and opted not to speak. Also, it needs to be considered that as an independent councillor, I sit in opposition to all members of the council, so not too much inference should be drawn by councillors voicing opposing views to mine. This happens more than often, especially with members of the controlling group. Also at paragraph 7, Mrs. Brown makes mention of Councillor Grosvenor in that he also spoke out against Councillor Wildman during the meeting. Mrs. Brown did not seek to interview Councillor Grosvenor, despite Councillor Grosvenor being quite specific with regards to instances of Councillor Wildman's behaviour which supported what I had said. I believe Mrs. Brown has been somewhat selective in the evidence she has chosen to consider in her investigation and has ignored or downplayed evidence supplied to her by me, which supports my comments. For example, at paragraph 20 in her report, Mrs. Brown details the attachments I sent to her, but neglects to mention I also sent a copy of the member conduct complaint I submitted against Councillor Wildman. The complaint gives details of his bullying behaviour towards me and the various breaches of the constitution he exercised in a particular meeting. It also stated the meeting was recorded and how it could be accessed. Mrs. Brown states in paragraph 32 of her report that she had no evidence of bullying. This is not the case. Mrs. Brown did have evidence but appears to have chosen not to use it or even more mention it. In paragraph 21 of the report, Mrs. Brown confirms she did not consider the code of conduct complaint I sent her detailing the bullying allegations made against Councillor Wildman. Further, at paragraph 21 of her report, Mrs. Brown details what she terms as evidence received from Councillor Wildman and admits to having considered the emails and Facebook posts in her investigation. They are produced with the appendix to her report as evidence. The first email from the Chief Executive, Andy O'Brien, to Councillor Wildman, dated the 23rd of December 2020, the contents of this email, when produced as evidence in the investigation, would suggest that I was the subject of the bad behaviour referred to by the Chief Executive. In fact, not a single of those examples of bad behaviour listed in the email are attributable to me. This email is completely misleading, and I would ask that the monitoring officer please advise the committee to disregard it. Had Mrs. Brown interviewed the chief executive himself, this fact would have been established. A further email is produced as evidence from Mrs. Hazel Glover, dated the 2nd of March 2021. Again, I am not mentioned by name in the email, and having listened to the recording of the meeting, I would suggest Mrs. Glover is not referring to my behaviour. Had Mrs. Glover been interviewed by Mrs. Brown, then perhaps the individuals subject to her criticism may have been identified. Another email is included concerning the statutes fair. Again, nothing to do with me. Neither are the screenshots of Facebook posts. I'm not on any social media platforms, and none of the posts mention me. The fact that Councillor Wildman has produced these emails as evidence to an investigation against me, and the fact that Mrs. Brown has included them as evidence, is extremely misleading. Mrs. Brown does not ask Councillor Wildman during interview if either email refers to my behaviour, but includes them as evidence nonetheless. At paragraph 23 of a report, Mrs Brown has included details of the number of public engagements carried out by Councillor Warman during his tenure as Mayor. Also included are the comments made by Councillor Warman during an interview, in which he states, "I therefore feel that it is outrageous to make a claim, as Councillor Florence Dukes did, that I did very little during my terms." I said nothing of the sort. In fact, I made it clear, I made a clear distinction between the two roles and made no comment whatsoever regarding his community events. Again, this paragraph is misleading, because Mrs Brown would have listened to the recording and known I hadn't made such comments, and so had Councillor Wyman, but again, it's in the report. Paragraph 30 of the report is misleading regards me not making myself available for interview. Mrs Brown received an out-of-office reply to her emails of the 12th of August and the 15th of September. I had previously written to Mrs Brown explaining I was awaiting the return of information that I had requested in a subject, SRA, I can't remember what it stands for, SRA, from ESPC. It was the council who sought an extension of an additional 2 months from the usual 28 days reply period. I would argue that it was ESPC who caused a delay. I was not expecting to hear from Mrs Brown until mid-September. As it transpired, my return home was delayed by a further week. On my return, I discovered both emails in my inbox, but by which time Mrs Brown had closed the investigation. Mrs Brown makes several comments in her post that are her own opinion and not based on facts. Mrs Brown uses the term "to my mind" in paragraphs 35 and 36. On balance in her report, Mrs Brown makes comments that are entirely supportive of Councillor Warman and makes comments against me that are frankly insulting, petty and small-minded, for instance. I do, however, agree with Mrs Brown regarding how important the role of Mayor is. This is precisely why when a Mayor exhibits poor behaviour, it needs to be robustly challenged. It is a great privilege to hold the office of Mayor, and one that should not be abused for personal or political gain. Of significance in paragraph 19 is that Mrs Brown took the decision not to look at evidence available to her in the form of recordings of meetings because she did not want to incur public funds. This is despite there being no financial limit to the investigation. You will recall I mentioned during the meeting that incidents I was referring to were recorded for posterity by way of our council meetings being recorded. Mrs Brown would have known that the recordings would be of evidential value, but appears not to have chosen to review them. Mrs Brown did not seek to explore with Councillor Warman why he considered the comments I made about him were untrue. For example,
Councillor Florence Dukes, with respect and for you, Chair, I'm conscious that you're making quite a few points here, and it might be a good idea to give the committee an opportunity to ask some questions before it escapes memory. Say, for example, maybe we should just ask a few questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Chair?
The committee or the investigating officer? The committee. Okay, so if any committee members have questions for Councillor Florence Dukes. Councillor Goodfellow.
I may direct this to the investigating officer if it's better in that context. So just in terms of, obviously, Councillor Florence Dukes is providing a significant amount of evidence this evening. So I think it would just be helpful to understand what the time frames were in this entire process and what could and couldn't have happened over that time frame. So if I understand correctly, the original complaint came in a number of weeks after April 2021. A number of requests were made in the ensuing months for additional information from both sides, it seems. And a report was issued in September 21.
Councillor Florence Dukes replied to say that she'd been advised not to comment. But until then, the investigation would have been open, and any information I received, I would have been happy to carry on.
You have answered the question I was going to put to effectively to both of you, in that in the intervening period between November 2021 and now, not far off a year, there would have been an opportunity to present the evidence that Councillor Florence Dukes has presented tonight for detailed consideration rather than doing it tonight. Yes, please.
At no point was I made aware of that, as far as I was under the impression that the investigation had closed. I don't think I've got the email to hand, but you did send an email saying if I don't hear from you by this date, then I'm going to proceed with the report.
I wrote you on the 15th of September saying, if I don't hear, I will draft my report. But a draft report is different, and you were given, when I sent you my draft report, I told you that I would take into account any comments that you made. You had every opportunity to come back with further evidence.
For you, Chair, councillors, I'm conscious that this is their opportunity to ask Councillor Florence Dukes questions. Owen, you, with the permission of the Chair, Ms Brown, sorry, you'll perhaps get an opportunity later. But Councillor Goodfellow, have you finished asking questions?
If you just let me gather my thoughts, I'll let other people carry on.
Thank you very much. As part of drawing up your statement this evening and producing the evidence which has gone through listening to a number of council meetings, could I ask how long did it take you to go through the recordings of the council meetings that you've gone through to provide a backup for the evidence that you've given this evening?
There were 30, I'll specify that to Mrs Brown in that initial email, there's 13 meetings in which Councillor Wildman presided. I think there was three, possibly four meetings that weren't recorded. Some of them were in private session, so I didn't have those recordings. But when you look at some of the recordings, like some meetings, as we can bear testament to, were hours long, you know, maybe 3 hours long. Obviously, I'm looking at it on my phone, I hear something, I've got to go through each item. It took me hours and hours and literally hours, because then I've got to pause, write it down and so on. So it takes a considerable amount of time.
Okay, Mr. Teasdale might be about to tell me to stop talking, so I'm not sure whether I can ask this question. I'm trying to understand the import of the evidence that has been omitted from this investigation. Are you willing to tell us, at a very high level, what the SAR request was about? What were you trying to find out that you thought would be important to this committee?
In answering that, Mr. Teasdale might interrupt me. I can try.
I'm actually trying to remember the nature of the subject access request. If I recall correctly, it was regarding the instructions in relation to the investigation. Is that correct, Councillor Florence Hughes?
No. Basically,
I think what we have to focus on, that we're not giving anyone's personal information away or anything like that.
That's the key.
If we give the essence of the access request, I think we're safe in that regard.
So the essence was on quite a number of fronts. The first one was to establish if the lady that had contacted me had actually put in a complaint. And the reason I asked that is because the two complaints I put in about Councillor Fletcher and Councillor Clark, fairly shortly after the meeting, were not acknowledged by the monitoring officer at all. That is contrary to... Yeah, this is where we're going to stray into...
This is where I've got to jump in, because I get where you're going, but of course decisions have been made on those matters and we're not here to consider them, and I appreciate the grievance that you may have, Councillor Florence Jukes, for those decisions, but we're not here to consider those matters. They've been finalised and they're done. So that's the end of your question, Councillor Locke, I'd like to say. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any further questions? Councillor Grove? No. Right. Councillor Goodfellow and then Mrs. Chenery.
Thank you, Chair. So just for clarity, because you've referenced it a number of times, you made standards complaints of bullying against Councillor Wildman, and can you explain what happened, the outcome of those?
I can, whether I'll be stopped or not. So basically, the complaint I put in about Councillor Wildman bullying me, I said although there'd been a whole series of events over the period that he'd then been mayor, it mainly centred on a particular meeting in which he had disallowed me from proposing an amendment and wrongly saying that I got the procedure wrong and it trying to introduce another procedure. When he saw advice from the monitoring officer, she actually gave him the incorrect advice. She went against the constitution as well, which led to a complaint being put in about the monitoring officer, which you yourself dealt with. But that was a little bit more complex than that, in that there were a number of issues. But basically, it came that the decision notice from Angela Wakefield, the then monitoring officer, was that she felt I should develop a thicker skin. There was also a lot of other stuff going on in the background as well, in that I was appealing for help with this bullying. I wrote a number of emails to... this is where...
Councillor Florence Jukes, I appreciate your answering the question. Councillor Goodfellow, what was the relevance?
Clearly the core of the complaint, as it seems to me personally, is the reference of bullying, and to the relevance of how that was raised in the meeting. What I am trying to determine is whether Councillor Florence Jukes took steps prior to that occasion, and therefore was it the right forum to make those comments if a complaint had been made and a position determined previously.
Okay, I see. My concern is that we're branching off into bits of information which isn't entirely relevant to this investigation. I know you would argue, Councillor Florence Jukes, that perhaps they do have some relevance, but I think we have to be very careful so we can be as succinct and accurate with our questions as possible. I'd be very grateful. I do apologise, Chair. What I should have said was through you. I'm very sorry. So if there's any other questions...
Thank you. I'm just going back to the timeline, which I'm trying to work out. It's sort of in my head. In the report it says on the 15th...
Through you, Chair, sorry. Could Mrs. Twenty put a microphone on? Cause...
Oh, sorry. I thought it was.
If the lights are on, it's fine.
Lights are on here? So it's on the 15th of September, asking for details and didn't receive a reply. Was this the first time you'd received any sort of deadline on this? And if so, what I've missed is... why you didn't send a sort of holding reply or something at the time, or weren't you in a position to do so, to sort of say, well, you know, my evidence of being on such and such a date or whatever. So.
Yeah, that email of the 15th of September, I wasn't here. I didn't receive the email until after what I thought was the deadline for the investigation. So I was away until there was a meeting, a council meeting, I think it was the 27th of September, and I got back the weekend before. I think I got back on Saturday. I think it was the Sunday I started to check through emails and saw that email. So I missed that email, but there was the same out-of-office reply on the email accounts as the one in August.
Mrs. Brown, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Just a few. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm bemused, really, Councillor Florence Dukes, as to why, with all the experience that you say you have of investigations, why you did not contact me to put forward your evidence. Because it seems to me that what you've done, what you've said today, is obviously what you said, but that is completely untested. We've had your assertions, but we haven't had the evidence behind those assertions. And the evidence behind those assertions hasn't been tested. And so, an interview, so that I could include in my report what you would have said. Why did you not, with all your experience, come forward with this?
Two reasons. The first was I made mention that I wanted to write a statement. This is the statement. And you'll have noted when I answered Councillor Grosvenor how long that took me to do that. And in fact, I alluded to that in the very first email, mm-hmm. the very first communication with you,
yep.
that there was lots of information
yep.
and I would need time to get it. Sorry, there was two parts to the question. I've forgotten the second part.
Why did you not come forward with that evidence? With all of your experience, why did you not contact me and come forward with that evidence?
Well, I could ask you the same question.
Well,
why did you not... I mean, my phone number is on the bottom of my emails. Could you not have perhaps called me and said, look, I'm trying to get a hold of you by email. Can't. I'd have answered my phone. Need to arrange an interview.
Because you knew that I'd tried, from my point of view, I had tried several times to encourage you to come forward with evidence. And yet nothing had come forward. And you could, couldn't you? Because it was some time after the 15th of September, by the time that I drafted my report, and you came back to me to say that you had been advised not to comment. But all of that time you could have put in this evidence. Because do you accept that the problem is that these are assertions that we're hearing from you today. And because they haven't been tested and because we haven't seen what's behind them, they can carry very little weight. Do you accept that?
No, I don't. They're not assertions at all. I've given clear evidence of every meeting.
But we haven't seen it. We've heard it. We haven't seen
well,
it.
Well, I've also said who was present at those meetings. And that's for the committee to decide, not you, Mrs. Brown, I would suggest, respectfully.
Oh, I'm absolutely right. I started off by saying I'm here to assist the committee. You know, it's their decision, not my decision. And you referred to, you feel that you are being maligned, I suppose, in the emails that are included in the appendix, the one on the 23rd of December. It doesn't mention you, does it? It doesn't mention you at all.
This is why I'm saying, why have you included it?
Well, if you look at Councillor Wilman's statement, he said, I provided, paragraph 14, I provided various emails showing I took advice from officers and carried out my duties and made diligently in my view. These include an email from the Chief Executive in December 2020, that's that one, thanking me for the way in which I conducted the council meeting that month, referring to bad behaviour from other councillors. I provided an email I received from a resident in March 21, giving strong support for the way I conducted the meeting. You aren't mentioned.
And this is, Mrs. Brown, is precisely my point. I'm not mentioned in it, so why include it?
Why do you think that they are maligning you?
Because they're very damaging. If you look at some of them, it mentions about drinking alcohol during a meeting.
It doesn't mention you.
No, but it mentions a councillor drinking alcohol during a meeting.
I've got no idea who that is.
Well, perhaps with respect, you may have interviewed the chief executive and he would have said who it was. But it wasn't me, yet it's included in evidence against me.
Well, it's included in evidence to show that he's taken advice from officers, not against you, that he's taken advice from officers.
Well, that's clearly not for me to answer, but the committee, when they've reviewed this information, may have taken a view, I don't know, that's their decision, but they may have taken a view that that evidence was against me.
Well, it doesn't mention you at all.
Then why include it, is my point.
Because Councillor Walmore provided it to me to show that he had taken advice from officers, which is one of the matters that he's very keen on. Anyway, moving on, I'm sure the members have got the point. Moving on. What really concerns me is that you have not, that you didn't really contact me. You sent me three recordings, or you copied me into three recordings. 17th of May, 24th of June, and and one in July, 15th of July. And yet you were saying that the ones which were really important then were the 21st of December, which you didn't send me, and the 22nd of February, which you equally didn't send me. And I've also, you know, listened to you saying that it has taken you hours and hours and hours to pour through all of those, to pull things out. And I can absolutely understand that it would. But can you understand then why it would have been so important for me to actually know from you what the issues were that you wanted me to look at, rather than simply watch a recording of a council meeting? Because I could have watched a recording of a council meeting, could I not, and got a completely different view from the one that you wanted me to have.
Most of the meetings weren't videos like we've seen tonight, the recordings. Mm. And I do make a point of saying in that very first email that most of the recordings are available on the website, do I not? So as an investigator, it's not my prerogative to say to you, well, this is how I think you should conduct your investigation. No. I did assume, me having given you the dates and the knowledge that the information is there, and I also mention it when I'm speaking in the debate, that you would take the lead on that and you would say, well, let's have a look at the what you're looking for is councillors being shouted at, amendments to motions not being allowed. I mean, it's a difficult situation because you've seen how long it's taken me to do it. So are you saying I should do your work for you?
No, I'm saying no, but I am saying that you should point me in the direction of what you think I should be looking for in order to assist your case and in the interest of the overall report. Because when there is only evidence from one side, it is difficult to produce a balanced report. I have done my best to produce a balanced report, and to be fair to you, I've referred to all of the issues that you did around ECHR. I mean, we may have come to a different view, but it's for the committee to decide at the end of the day. But I really do feel that you have damaged yourself by not cooperating as fully as you could with this investigation. Don't you agree?
No, I don't. I think what I take issue out there is that in my... The very thing that's led to us being here tonight, when I addressed council in a debate, I say in that all these meetings are recorded for posterity. I do say that. Now, that's your prerogative if you choose not to look at that. And indeed, I did send you links, and you've said, because of your concern about the public purse, that you weren't going to spend that money. Well, I've asked you, was there a cap put on
the
investigation? And there wasn't. I mean, I know this investigation's cost just short of £5,000 so far. Mm. So the question is, how much is an investigation worth, basically? If there's no cap put on you, where and there's no record of you having conversations with the then monitoring officer, Angela Wakefield, to discuss, look, I'm at this juncture. Mm. I've also confirmed with you that there was no timeline put on the investigation. It wasn't right. I want the report on my desk in 4 months' time. There was nothing like that. And I know you're an experienced investigator yourself, and I'm sure some of the investigations you do for various local authorities must take way longer than the few months that you gave me.
Well, they take as long as they take.
Exactly. I mean, I would argue the opposite, that you didn't give me fair opportunity to contact you. Like I say, my telephone number is on the signature block, but you didn't contact me, neither. No.
Well, I contacted you by email several times.
Yeah, well, several. Was it several? Mm-hmm. Several, seven? Yeah.
Councillors, through you, Chair, can I jump in there just a reminder that, you know, things are getting quite emotive, and I appreciate why. So please, let's refine our questions, keep it respectful, and away we go.
Okay. And in terms of the final areas, really, in terms of the conduct of meetings. It's right, is it not, that there are officers there to advise the chair or the mayor, if it's the council meeting, all the time. And it's right for members to take advice from those officers, both before and during meetings.
I can say they're available. Whether an individual chooses to take that advice, I really wouldn't know. That's a matter for the mayor in question to decide. But certainly those officers are there. And what I would say alludes to the question Councillor Goodfellow asked was there was a challenge to that advice that was given at some point. Some things were challenged. And you'll know that because you've seen the complaints, although you haven't included them. You have, I suppose, read them. So you'll know what you know, my point is. But the other thing is, towards probably the second part of Councillor Wildman's tenure, was the meetings were held remotely where he hadn't got the demolition officer sat at his side. I don't know what the arrangement was, whether she was on a phone or I don't know what it was. But the demolition officer wasn't at his side, and he distinctly makes reference in his statement, I always have a copy of the standards in front of me. He does say that. And I know, he said, I know the Constitution. He makes those points that he knows the Constitution, he disagrees with what I say that he doesn't know it, and he always has a copy in front of him. So, look, if that answers.
Well, it's a question of actually. Members, I think, do rely, and rightly so, on officers to point them in the direction of following the Constitution, of making sure that matters are dealt with properly. Do they not? Is that not reasonable?
It is, but as I've highlighted in what I said earlier, there were occasions where Councillor Wyman ruled outright, I'm not taking this point of order, and there was a specific occasion where Councillor Grosvenor challenged that, and the advice from the monitoring officer was, no, you can take it if you wish, is what she said. But that again wasn't entirely.
No, but is he not entitled to take the view of the officer? He doesn't have to, but it would be quite reasonable for him to take the view of the officer in such a situation, would it not?
I can't. It would for me, but I can't answer the Councillor Wyman. But yes, I get your point, but I couldn't answer, you know, either way. But the advice, more than often, is there. Whether that's good advice is debatable, you know, on all occasions, but yeah.
And did you seek to raise these concerns with officers, these concerns that you have about Councillor Wyman's behaviour? Did you seek to raise those concerns with officers?
Yeah, I'd heard in the official complaint I made against him, I listed...
What happened with that complaint?
Mrs Wakefield ruled that I should develop a thicker political skin.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So now...
Just to confirm, finish yet. I think Councillor Florence Dukes has an opportunity to finish her case, but what I wanted to do was offer an opportunity for the Council as the committee to ask questions so that we're not forgetting important facts. So are we happy to continue, Councillors, or does it, or for you, Chair, do we...
So we're not at that bit yet, then?
Not yet.
Not yet, no. And the 9:30 rule is getting close.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Sorry, Councillor, just discussing that.
Just discussing the time.
I haven't got much longer
left. Okay. Oh, no, I meant not the time you're taking, but the time for the committee. There has to be a vote whether it goes past 9:30. Standing order, yeah. But anyway, no, please, carry on. Sorry, carry on.
Thank you, Chair. There's not too much left. In my opinion, Mrs. Brown was eager in wanting to conclude her investigation and thereby exclude me from participating. My telephone number was on the signature blocks to my emails. Mrs. Brown could have easily called me. Alternatively, the monitoring officer, Angela Wakefield, could have got in touch with me by phone to arrange an appointment for interview, but didn't. And I speak about the LGA recommended time for completion of an investigation is 6 months, even longer if justifiably needed. Mrs. Brown could have taken another couple of months to arrange an interview with me and hear my evidence, but clearly chose not to. And then I summarise. So basically I say that when I spoke out against the vote of thanks, at no point did anybody interrupt me or object to what I was saying. Not the Mayor, the Monitoring Officer, the Chief Executive, the Leader of the Council, the Chair to Standards Committee, not even Councillor Warman himself. Nobody interrupted me. And we all know from what I've said earlier that councillors know how to raise a point of order. In fact, in some meetings, a point of order about being disrespectful has been raised a few times. So the mechanism was there for people to use, but not one person used it. And Councillor Attroyd, although she literally only just got in the chair, she has been mayor before, and she's been deputy mayor for 3 years, so clearly she's an experienced mayor. If I was in breach of the code of conduct in terms of not showing Councillor Warman respect, why didn't anybody stop me, is the point I make. Councillor Warman's successor as Mayor, Councillor Attroyd, is in marked contrast to how Councillor Warman was as Mayor. She did conduct council business fairly and did abide by the rules of our constitution. The correct procedure for dealing with urgent motions on notice was followed by Councillor Attroyd, as were points of order, amendments to motions, and indeed all business. This illustrates that it can be done. The correct procedure can be followed. At 2.4 of the Monitoring Officer's report to this hearing, Mr. Teasdale states that attempts were made to resolve this matter by summary resolution. This is correct. And I was asked to write a letter of apology to Councillor Wireman and read it out at full council meeting. That was very difficult for me to even consider because I felt that I hadn't done anything wrong, that all of the points that I raised were valid points, and even about the bullying, I felt I was almost being, it was verging on victim blame, and it was, well, you've been bullied, but you've got to apologise. However, I did really try and make an effort. So what I drafted was, I know you are upset at what happened, Colin, and I understand why, but I had my reasons for saying what I said. I have reconsidered my comments carefully, and if I were to apologise, I would not be being honest with you, this council, or indeed myself. Having listened to the recording, I accept the way I communicated my words may have come across as being harsh in places, and for that I do apologise. Clearly, both of us have caused deep hurt to each other, and that is something I truly do regret. We have known each other since our school days. I still value the friendship we once had and the good times we shared. I often think back to the genuinely warm welcome I extended to you, Jean and Connor into my home when our friendship was at its best. I would hope we could both have the strength of character to put past difficulties behind us and move on from what has been a period of suffering for both of us. The letter was rejected by the monitoring officer, the independent person, and I believe Councillor Warman, is that correct? I was advised it was a justification and not an apology, and I was asked to do a rewrite of an unequivocal apology to Councillor Warman. I then wrote back to the monitoring officer and said, after giving this matter a huge amount of consideration over the past few weeks, I have come to the firm decision that any apology I offer is an acceptance of me being in the wrong. I stand by every word I said in the meeting, to the point that I would say the very same thing again. Such is my conviction for standing up for what I truly believe in. Any apology from me would not only be insincere, but also a self-betrayal of the very principles that inspired me to stand for election in the first place, and the same principles I've held my entire life. Integrity and honesty mean everything to me. So an attempt was made, at least by me, to resolve this complaint. And I did feel being asked to apologise for being bullied, for being denied my democratic right on occasions, and being witness to so many incidents involving other opposition members was tantamount to victim blaming. I will always challenge poor and unacceptable behaviour because it's the right thing to do. If such behaviour continually goes unchallenged, then it becomes the norm. It embeds itself and rots, creating hostile and toxic environments. This applies especially to bullying, where an individual abuses a position of authority for their own ego or personal or political gain. So turning to paragraph 44 of the report and the findings made by Mrs. Brown, 44B, there is sufficient evidence to make a finding that by her actions complained of by Councillor Warman, Councillor Florence Jukes was in breach of the Code of Conduct, in particular of paragraph 3.1 and the Nolan Principles of Leadership and Honesty. I'll address each of those findings in turn. Firstly, the Nolan Principles of Being Honest, Honesty. And what it says is councillors should be truthful. The committee have heard from the detailed evidence I've provided here tonight that I can substantiate every point I made during the meeting, but which Councillor Wildman states are untrue in their entirety. Namely, that Councillor Wildman bullied and belittled opposition members, shouted at opposition members, specifically Councillors Chowdhury and Hussein, deliberately mispronounced Councillor Grosvenor's name as Grosvenor, was rude and disrespectful to opposition members, interrupted opposition members during debates and silenced them, had an alarming lack of knowledge of the Constitution in relation to urgent business, points of order, amendments to motions and rules of debate, and abused his position as mayor by having a profile picture of himself and his mayoral regalia on his Facebook page, which advertised his personal garden business. I have not been untruthful in what I said, not at any point. The evidence is backed up from recordings of the relevant council meetings. In addition, most of the ESBC members of this committee were present during those meetings and witnessed the incidents that gave rise to my comments. This finding, I challenge, cannot be proven. The Nolan Principles of Leadership. Councillors should exhibit these principles in their own behaviour. They should actively promote and robustly support the principles and be willing to challenge poor behaviour. The principles referred to are selflessness, integrity, objectivity, accountability, openness and honesty. If there is no finding of a breach of honesty, there can be no finding of a breach of leadership either, as the two in this instance go hand in hand. The role of mayor in relation to presiding over council meetings is to ensure that business can be carried out efficiently and ensure that the council meeting is the forum for the debate of matters of concern to all community and a place in which members who are not on the cabinet are able to hold the cabinet to account. I have evidence how on occasions Councillor Warman's actions as Mayor prevented business being carried out as effectively as it should have been. Clearly this is not good for democracy. In telling the truth, in detailing the facts, I was not disrespectful to Councillor Warman. I spoke about the freedom of expression enshrined in legislation in Article 10 of the European Convention of Human Rights and of the enhanced protection I receive as a local politician. Also, I spoke of how Strasbourg recognises that because politicians are public servants engaged in politics who voluntarily enter that arena, politicians are subject to wider limits of acceptable criticism. They are expected and required to have thicker skins and have more tolerance to comment than ordinary citizens. I have not been disrespectful to Councillor Warman. The comments I made during the debate on the proposed vote of thanks for Councillor Warman are entirely with merit. I have evidenced this here tonight. I do accept Councillor Warman may have been hurt by those comments, but what I said is the truth, and in this instance, the truth clearly hurt. That's it, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, of course, yeah. So we'll have a 10-minute adjournment now for a comfort break. The summing up stage, the investigating officer to sum up, then Councillor Florence Dukes, and then we will go to the independent advisor's report. So, Mrs. Brown, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't need very long at all. I mean, I think that we've heard lengthy assertions from Councillor Florence Dukes. While she says they are all evidenced, that is not the evidence that is before you. Those are just assertions because that evidence has not been tried and tested. And obviously you will be advised by your monitoring officer. It's very unfortunate in my view that she did not fully cooperate with the investigation and come forward with the evidence for interview when she had every opportunity to do so. Nonetheless, on the evidence in front of you, which is tested, it seems to me that there is still sufficient evidence for you to make a finding of a breach of the code of conduct against her. That's all I wish to say.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Dukes.
Thank you, Chair. Only to challenge, obviously, what Mrs. Brown has just said, in that it wasn't a case that I made myself unavailable for interview. I think had there been a succession of emails that I hadn't replied to, then, yeah, you'd have a good case to argue that. But as it is, that very first email I sent where I went into great detail about the information, the evidence that was needed, should give an indication to Mrs. Brown that this is going to be quite a long, protracted inquiry. In addition to that, there were emails sent about the delay in the subject access request, and that did yield some information that I was reliant on. That was an ESPC delay, not mine. They could have done it in the 28 days, but they wanted an extension by a further 2 months. So I can't be accountable for that delay. In addition to that, Mrs. Brown has said there was no timescale put on the investigation at all, and admits that some of the investigations that she has been involved with are very long and very protracted. I would argue there must be an interest in establishing the truth and the full facts. And I did. Mrs. Brown said earlier that she had no evidence from me. Well, I'd say to the contrary, I did give Mrs. Brown evidence. What I did say was that I was intending writing a statement like the one I've read tonight, which involved gathering a lot of information. But in the meantime, I did send Mrs. Brown information about things, including links to three meetings that weren't accessible on the ESBC website. I did say, as we've all heard, that everything that I was saying in that meeting could be backed up by council recordings. With due respect to Mrs. Brown, it's Mrs. Brown that's the investigator, not me. You heard in my opening speech about the investigation how it should be fair, how evidence from both sides should be sought, that there shouldn't be a leniency towards guilt before having a good review of what evidence is out there. I did make it clear what evidence was out there right from the go-get, right at the point of the complaint. Mrs. Brown has chosen not to use that or to access it on the grounds of the public purse. But that's something that, you know, Mrs. Brown has to qualify with the monitoring officer. I mean, that's all I can say on that matter. In terms of me being truthful, I've evidence that not a single thing that I said has been untruthful, not anything, nothing. And although Mrs. Brown asserts that it's untested, well, I would argue that there are councillors here tonight that were present in those meetings. If they can't remember or whatever, I'm sure when I was recounting incidents, they may have said, oh, yeah, I remember that one. Or there were some difficult meetings, I do accept that. But difficult meetings because of challenges to procedures that weren't being adhered to, that's what made them difficult. I do challenge some of the evidence that's been produced in the report in terms of emails and so on, which have got absolutely nothing to do with me. And I would reiterate that at no point in any meeting with Councillor Warman was I ever disrespectful to him. I always called him Mayor and always said, thank you, Mayor. I was never challenging with him. Never once did he have to say to me, what's your language or what's your behaviour, whereas on one occasion I appealed to him to intervene because I was getting comments made by a councillor, and I asked Councillor Warman to intervene, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So there's all incidents like that, but the essence is I haven't been untruthful, not in any sphere. And with regards to not cooperating with the investigation, I would argue I wasn't given ample time to cooperate. That although Mrs. Brown, who's clearly familiar with a draft report, I thought a draft report was it. That I understand what a draft report is, but a draft report is based on the evidence you've got. No point did Mrs. Brown ever say to me, look, this window's open, although I'm going to start my report here. If the opportunity arises where you have got further information or the information that you've said, please give it to me. That was never, ever explained to me. I, from my perspective, I understood that was it. The investigation was closed. And had it been pointed out to me that, no, it is open, as and when you get information, send it me. But there we are. But in regards of being truthful, I've been absolutely truthful, and I did make a challenge, and that's within my rights as a councillor to make a challenge. I was asked to give a vote of thanks that I simply couldn't give. There is another issue that perhaps the complaint I made about Councillor Warman was only a matter, it was at the previous meeting to the one that was being held, so it was quite a fresh complaint, if you like. So I wasn't given an opportunity to do anything about it. I was just given the decision notice, and that was it, basically. I do think that knowing that I'd submitted a complaint about him, that meeting, which Councillor Warman took the decision, along with a few others, to bring that meeting forward, we were in an election period, and that meeting shouldn't have been for another, I think, a week and a half, but they decided to bring that meeting forward, very close to when I put in my complaint. It could have been, I mean, I don't know what the procedure is, but it could have been that Councillor Goodfellow could have brought that as an announcement. We, you know, a vote that we record our sincere thanks to Councillor Warman and it not be brought as a motion for debate. That could have happened, but it didn't. It was brought as a motion, and as is my right, I debated that emotion. Also, with freedom of speech, there is nothing I said that can be deemed to be way offensive, I don't think. I was stating fact. That is fact. I didn't use any inflammatory language when I was describing it. I stated fact, and that's been proven. That is fact. It's the truth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Florence Dukes. We're now going to move to Mr. Graham Goodall to give us his the independent person's report. Thank you, Graham. Oh, I thought you said it had to be at 9:30. Right, I'm sorry. So, we aren't supposed to go past 9:30. There's a standing order that you have to vote if you agree to go past 9:30. Otherwise, this meeting will have to cease at 9:30 and we'll have to reconvene at another time. So, all those in favour of carrying on the meeting, thank you, that's carried. We will carry on. Right. Sorry, Mr. Goodall, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is important that we do not lose sight of the context of this complaint. This complaint and hearing results from a public council meeting held on the 26th of April 2021, when a motion was raised to thank Councillor Colin Wildman for his service and dedication in carrying out the role of Mayor over two very difficult years. The newly elected Mayor, Councillor Ackroyd, said at the time that it should have been a joyous occasion. Sadly, it was very far from this, as Councillor Florence Dukes took the opportunity to launch into a wide-ranging attack on Councillor Wildman's character and public service. In doing this, she raised issues that had already been properly dealt with and dismissed within the standards system. She went on to say that any members who supported the motion were endorsing bullying and incorrect behaviour, which I'm sure many present would have found personally insulting. I would therefore say that this was an ill-timed and ugly attempt at a character assassination, which showed a complete lack of respect for a fellow councillor, and as such it is a breach of paragraph 3.1 of the Code of Conduct.
Thank you, Mr. Goodall. Okay, so now it's the committee will retire to make a decision, and yep, I will go upstairs to the Mayor's dining room. Thank you. Thank you for waiting for us. The committee have, by majority, found, in terms of disrespect, that there has been a breach of paragraph 3.1 of the code. There has been no finding in terms of dishonesty or lack of leadership. So I invite Mr. Goodall his comments.
Perhaps Mr. Goodall could put his microphone on at this point.
I consider the relevant sanctions in this case would be that to publish the findings of the committee in respect of the councillor's conduct and report the findings to the council for information.
Thank you. Now I've lost my procedure.
about business action as well. So I think if we retire, to think about what's been suggested by an independent person, I can't envisage that we'll be as long as we previously were, but I can't make any promises, so shall we quickly...
Okay. I'm sorry, I want it noted for the record that I did mispronounce something earlier. I used the word disrespect instead of the word respect. So I will say the statement again, that in terms of a failure to show respect, the Council have by majority found there to be a breach of paragraph 3.1 of the Code. There has been no finding in terms of dishonesty or lack of leadership. The committee have unanimously voted for the recommendations, the sanctions recommended by the independent person, that being to publish its findings in respect of the councillor's conduct, and to report its findings to the Council for information. And just to invite the investigating officer, if you have anything further to add to that.
No, Chair, I'm quite happy with what you've said.
Okay. So I think that's the end. Isn't this? Any further business? Yes. The meeting, there is a meeting scheduled for on the website of the Standards Committee for Monday the 5th. That meeting is cancelled and will not be taking place. Thank you very much. And that leads me to end the meeting. No? I thought you said there was no private minutes.
There we are. I thought it was no private.
To read out? Oh, to approve them. I'm sorry, Councillor Florence. This is just the Standards Committee private minutes from before. So does everybody approve? Please vote if you approve them. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, I should have done that before. So thank you very much, everybody, for your attendance. And that is the end of the meeting. Thank you.